Revelation 16, verses 1 through 12. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth. And it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, Righteous art thou, who art and who wast, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent, so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. We are coming up to the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation, and I'm stopping short of that portion of Revelation chapter 16 this morning. We will take a short break for the seasonal messages of Palm Sunday and Resurrection Day, which are coming up. Some of you may realize this, that these next two Lord's Days are the two days in the Christian calendar which are most attended in church. They are the holidays of the Christian calendar which receive most attention. And I suppose there is reason for that, but we'll talk about that later. Now we are in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verses 12, or verses 1 through 12, and we are coming up to the seven bowls of wrath, which are poured out by seven angels. Let's read the beginning of this chapter. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worship his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, Righteous art thou, who art and who wast, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, Oh yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, the true and the righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent, so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, and the way might be prepared for the kings of the east. One of the great questions that those who first heard the book of Revelation had was that of the judgment that ought to come upon evil that was coming against them. The church was under severe and great persecution in the early days. And the people of God were wondering, is this persecution going to continue, or are changes going to come, and will there be release from these dire consequences of confessing Christ as Lord? And part of the theme of the book of Revelation is the fact that judgments do come, that we are not as people in this world to take things into our own hands, that judgment belongs to the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so that perspective is given. And the people of God are assured that the judgments of God will indeed come upon evil. And that is what we see in these seven bowls of wrath. And we look at a part of this morning. In our first point, we say that the wrath of God is finished in the seven bowls poured out by the seven angels. And I ask you to compare Revelation 15:1 and Revelation 16:1. Revelation 15:1 says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished." And in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth.'" The number seven is the number of completeness. It is the number of perfection. And when these seven bowls of the judgments of God, the wrath of God, are poured out, then the judgments of God, as Revelation 15:1 says, the judgments of God are brought to completion. That's part of the message that is being given to us here. And so this must, it seems to me, lead us through this present age into the age to come. It must lead us from the judgments which transpire in this present age to the final judgment when Christ comes a second time in glory. And I think that is actually the case. There are judgments which come in this world. The Apostle Paul says, for example, in Romans, the first chapter, that the wrath of God is poured out against all unrighteousness of men. And that's present tense, as Paul speaks in the first century. And so what we're talking about in actuality is the pouring out of God's wrath over a period of time which culminates in the second coming of Jesus Christ. You notice in the first verse of chapter 16, it says, "I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the seven bowls of wrath, of the wrath of God into the earth.'" It is a voice that comes from the temple, from the throne of God. It is at the command of God that these bowls of wrath are poured out. This is not something that should be taken lightly. This is something which is in the absolute control of the Almighty. And it is His wrath which is being poured out. Notice also that it is the wrath of God into the earth. I've said this before, that the earth in the book of Revelation represents that world system spiritually which is opposed to God. It is the kingdom of this world in symbolic form. And these judgments come to culmination on those who dwell in the earth, on those who are opposed to the living God. This is quite significant. And I think we also have to understand this. Point two, failure to heed the warning trumpets of God leads to final wrath before God. Now I want us to compare in this portion of our study this morning the trumpets of God and the bowls of wrath which are poured out. So I want us to go back and forth between chapters 8 and 9 and chapter 16. Turn back, if you would, in your Bible to chapter 8 in the book of Revelation. And we begin to see the seven trumpets in chapter 8. Verse 6 says, "And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up." It is the earth that receives the trumpet blast. 16:2, "And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image." The first trumpet blast concerns the earth. The first vial poured out concerns the earth. When the first trumpet blast occurs, a third of the earth is destroyed. But when the first vial is poured out, there are no limitations upon the wrath of God. Begin to get the picture here, folks. The trumpet blasts are warnings. The vials are the wrath of God, which is brought to completion. This can occur at any time. We may hear a warning from God and take heed to that warning and repent of our uncleanness and unseemliness and return to God. There are others who hear the warning blasts of God but do not repent of their evil deeds. And in that case, the judgments of God are brought to completion in their lives. This is part of the message. Again, in Revelation chapter 8, "And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood." You see, again, the sea is involved. The second bowl of wrath. 16:3, "And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died." In the first case, the trumpet blast is a warning, and there is a limitation placed upon the judgments of God which unfold. In the pouring out of the bowl of wrath, there is no limitation, and those who do not take heed to the trumpet blast incur the wrath of God brought to completion. Again, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, "And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters." Compare then Revelation chapter 16, and verse 4, "And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood." You see, the parallel here is maintained. And once again, there is a limitation on the trumpet blast because it is a warning blast. But there is no limitation upon the bowl of wrath which is poured out. Again, Revelation chapter 8. And we turn now to verse 12. "And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so that the third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for the third of it, and the night in the same way." Revelation chapter 16, verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire." Again, the parallel is maintained. We go all the way through in this fashion. The fifth trumpet sounded. Chapter 9 and verse 1. "And the fifth trumpet sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to it." Chapter 16, verse 10. "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkness." Again, chapter 9. This time, at the end of the chapter, verse 13, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. I just want you to get the parallelism here, and I want you to see that in the first case, in the warning blast of the trumpet, I say it again, that the warning blasts come, and there is a limit placed upon the judgments of God. But when the bowls of wrath are poured out in a similar fashion, there is no limit. And those who do not repent of their evil deeds feel the full brunt of this wrath which comes from God. Let's quickly go through these six bowls once again. Verse 2 in chapter 16. And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The mark of the beast is the mark of the unholy spirit, as the mark of God is the mark of the Holy Spirit of God. Two distinct things. Those who have the mark of the beast are those who are under the dominion of the devil. Those who have the mark of God confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The image of the beast amounts to those institutions which are built up in an effort to glorify anti-Christian principles. And in our culture and in our society, I think that these institutions amount to institutions involving education, the arts, and science. Now, that is not to say that education is bad and that the arts are bad and that science is bad. What we're talking about here are people who dedicate themselves to anti-Christian principles and want to build institutions in the image of anti-Christian principles. What is the problem with that? The problem with that is that when people dedicate themselves to such purposes, they are opposed to God, and a malignant cancer grows in their souls for which there is no cure. That's the first bowl of wrath. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The sea is a representation, a picture of the tumult of the nations, the sea of unconverted people. And wrath is poured out upon that sea. And it is not limited. And I say to you, dear friends, that the symbolism is simply this. Where individuals want to continue all their lives to swim in that sea of unbelief, there is no hope for them. The only hope is to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to confess Christ as Lord. Verse 4 says, and the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous art thou who art and who was, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it. You know, these are very hard words. These are words that we tremble when we read them. You see, the point is this, that there are those who prefer not to partake of the death of Jesus Christ, and they prefer not to partake of the blood of Jesus Christ. They prefer to be involved with the murder of those who love Jesus Christ. That's the symbolism which is involved. In other words, they are opposed to God. During the first century, Jesus, when he stood before Jerusalem and wept, he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killed the prophets. Oh, how I would have desired to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." And part of the problem was that over the years, the people who were in the religious hierarchy of Jerusalem killed the prophets that came to her. In ancient Rome, this was the case also, as Christians were martyred. In our day, in our country, in some respects, this is the case also. Last Lord's Day evening, I mentioned the fact that during the Middle East War, Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, that our military chaplains were required not to wear their insignias. You know why? Because the Muslims might be offended by that. And at the same time, we saw on our television sets that green flag waving proudly next to the American flag. That green flag with Arabic writing on it, which says, "Allah is the only true God." It's amazing. And at this point in our history, U.S. embassies in Saudi Arabia are refusing to allow Christian worship in their compounds, which is United States territory. Verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory." The sun is a great light in the heaven. And it is a wonderful thing when the light of heaven shines into human hearts. And human beings see because of the light of God poured out in their hearts. They see the beauty of Jesus Christ. And it's a terrible thing when the light of God is withheld from individuals. In this circumstance, the light of God is a burning heat so that the consciences of men and women burn with the guilt of their sins. Unfortunately, in this circumstance, there is no repentance. That's the sad, very sad message. Verse 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds." The very heart of the kingdom of darkness is judged. And there are those who prefer darkness rather than light. Jesus said it. There are those who love darkness rather than light because if they come into the light, their deeds are exposed and they don't want to come into the light. But there is ultimate judgment for the very center of the kingdom of darkness. And the sixth angel, verse 12, "And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings of the east." Here is a picture, and I think this is what it is, simply a picture of the preparation for the battle of Armageddon. And what is Armageddon? Armageddon is a battle which any of us may face at any time, in which the people people of God are victorious over the forces of evil. That's a good thing. Next week, or next time, I hope to be able to show us that that is the case. And as individuals, we may face an Armageddon at almost any time in our individual lives. But the promise is that the people of God are victorious. It doesn't seem that way at first glance. But let me assure you, dear friends, that this is indeed the case. We have to hurry on. Point 3 in our outline says, failure to heed the warning trumpets of God seals the doom of the unrepentant. And from their perspective, Armageddon is an absolutely unmitigated disaster. For sure, this is the case. Let's read verses 8 through 10 again. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. You see, the whole idea here in the book of Revelation, which is given to us, is the need of repentance and the need of individuals and peoples and nations to turn back to God. That's what is set before us. And for people who do not turn back to God, Armageddon becomes a battle in which they are doomed. Point 4. Heeding the warning trumpets of God seals the glory of the repentant New Jerusalem. You see, when we understand properly, it seems to me, the warnings of God which are around us, and we repent of our evil deeds and turn back to the living God, and we live for Him, we have assurance of glory and assurance of life in the New Jerusalem. You see, the whole rest of the book of Revelation is leading us in this direction. And we are going to see the doom of Babylon, and we are going to see the glories of the new heavens and the new earth. That's yet to come. But I want to say to you folks that we must heed the warning calls of God which are around us. Let me give you a couple of examples if I can. For a long time, venereal disease was running rampant. It still is, actually, in our country. And so young men and women would go to the doctor and get a shot of penicillin to cure the disease, never desiring to alter their lifestyles. That disease is a warning call from God. Along came herpes. You remember that? Some of you remember that. A different type of venereal disease, a little bit more devastating. Yes, warnings went out. Some people changed their lifestyles, but the vast majority of people did not. What was the next step? Along comes AIDS. along comes AIDS. Are we listening? Is our country listening? What could be the next plague that comes along? Even as we speak, there are people in Great Britain who are talking about destroying the entire cattle herd of that country, 11 million cattle, because of a disease they fear might spread to the human population. Are we listening? See, these are trumpet calls from God. And if we heed the warning calls from God and repent of our sins, dear friends, as individuals and as a nation, glory awaits us. You see, that's the message. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Ah, yes. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Will they come? They will come for those who love Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we've covered a lot of ground, and we've looked at it, O Lord, only in a very shallow way, touching the high spots, as it were. Bring the message home to us, Father. Bring the message home to us as individuals, as a church, and bring the message home to our city, state, and nation, we pray. And may we understand, Father, that as we love Jesus Christ and trust in Him, glory does await us. But there is only doom awaiting those who oppose the King. May we, Father, be a people who faithfully deliver the message of salvation from sin to people in need. Grant that that might be the case. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.